Welcome back to the Self-Development Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Apodaca. In today's episode, I go over a book that I had read recently from Richard Bandler, introducing NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, which I believe is the most helpful psychological tool for you to use in your life. So without further ado, let's get into this really quick overview. One of the things that I want to use this podcast for is documenting the things that I'm learning. So it's almost like an ongoing research project into self-development and different ways to grow as a person. One of the things that I read this last week that I want to kind of experiment on in terms of this format is Richard Bandler. Richard Bandler, he wrote a book, I'll link to it in the notes. He wrote a book about NLP, which stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And I just want to give you a broad overview of some of the different points that he made. I don't feel like it's that helpful to try to describe NLP in a systematic way, neuro-linguistic programming in a systematic way. It's more helpful to just give examples of the types of things that they teach. So I'm just going to jump right into it. He first started off by talking about having an effect mindset or a cause mindset. And basically what he's trying to help people do, this is a broader point than NLP, is just take responsibility for their own lives. An effect mindset would say, he caused me to do this. He is the one with the causal power. I am just the effect of other people around me. Versus cause mentality. I failed to do such and such, and that's why I have the results that I have. It places accountability and responsibility on your shoulders. And a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people feel uncomfortable with the idea that the failures and the shortcomings in their lives are their fault. But if you get to the place of recognizing that the majority of the issues in your life are your fault, you realize that there is another side to that coin. That means that you have the power to change those things. If it's all your fault, then it's all in your hands to do better next time. But if it's somebody else's fault, then you have no direct control to make your life better. And so this isn't about saying nobody ever wrongs you. That's obviously false. People do wrong you. People do make your life harder, even. This is about the general mindset. Are you approaching issues viewing yourself as this thing being bumped around by external causes, or do you view yourself as someone who has causal power and control over your own life? That's the first thing. The second thing that really stood out to me was this idea that in order to achieve your goals, you can't have a conflict of interests. If you want to make more money, but deep down you think it's wrong to make more money than people around you, then you will find ways to sabotage yourself. You won't be able to keep going. So, for example, this is a pretty extreme example, but if you're in a relationship with someone and you know that that relationship is really, really bad for you and you should really break up with your boyfriend or girlfriend, but you're not, then what's likely happening is that there's an internal conflict of interests within just yourself. On the one hand, you know that all this pain that this person is causing you, and yet there is some need that that person is addressing in your life, and you feel like if you were to give that person up, some part of you would go as well. It's something that we need to, if you really want to achieve something, one of the things that you really need to do is become internally congruent. Find a way to get the entirety of you to be saying the same thing. And this will be it'll be some give and take. Sometimes you can make the two sets of priorities fit together if you allow them to just have an open conversation with one another. Other times you'll realize that one thing is something you don't actually value. You've just sort of valued it by default. Another point that Bandler makes is this. What your thinker thinks, your prover proves. What your thinker thinks, your prover proves. In other words, if you keep uncritically entertaining an idea, you will eventually find reasons to convince yourself that it is true. So he's kind of artificially dividing the mind up into the thinker and the prover. The thinker being that part of your mind that is consciously holding certain ideas in front of itself. And then your prover being the part of your mind that's looking for evidence for whether certain ideas are true. And so what he's saying is that if you hold a certain idea in front of your mind, then eventually, and you do that enough, and you entertain an idea enough, then you will eventually find enough evidence to convince yourself that it is true. Now, if I were teaching philosophy right now, I would say that this phenomenon is proof that we need to develop our critical reasoning skills, and that's definitely true. But right now, I want to make a different point, that we need to develop not only our reasoning skills, but we need to be careful what we focus on. Because this whole phenomenon of what the thinker thinks the prover proves is related to what we choose to spend our mental energy on. So this is the classic, if you tell somebody enough times that they're stupid, eventually they will believe it. And it's amazing the number of times by the time someone's a teenager that they've heard the word no or you can't do that. Eventually, we begin to develop these beliefs that we can't do the majority of things that we want to do, because we've been told it enough that we eventually find supporting reasons in our mind to make sense of it. Here's another way to think of it. Tony Robbins explains it in a slightly different way. If you ask yourself, why am I so stupid? Your brain will look for an answer. Oh, it's because your brain is wired wrong, or you went to a bad school, or you had bad parents. If you ask yourself, why am I stupid, you will find an answer. So instead, ask a better question. Instead of asking, why am I stupid, ask, how can I become smarter? What your thinker thinks, your prover proves. You will find an answer. Ask empowering questions. Here's one way to think of it. Your brain is like a small research assistant. If each morning you tell it your questions and you just go about your day, just check in with it at the end of the day, and your little research assistant, your brain, will have noticed all kinds of things. So set it in the right direction. Get it asking the right questions, and it will research and find the information that you need to make you successful. Haven't you ever noticed this when writing a paper or working on a project for some business? When it gets to crunch time and you have that focus, you need to find answers. You begin noticing things all over the place that could relate to your paper or project. Find a way to get your mind to think that way every single day. Feed it a question intentionally in the morning and demand that it find answers. But make them empowering questions. Not why am I so dumb or depressed, but how can I be intelligent and happy and enrich other people's lives? If you ask every single day, how can I do something I love in a way that will meet my own needs and enrich hundreds of other people, you will soon find your passion. Because as you ask that question, you'll begin making connections and seeing things that you could be doing. So ask yourself questions like, how can I grow today? How can I improve someone else's day? How many magical moments can I experience in the next 3 hours? How can I invite God's presence into my life and work? How much pleasure can I handle? These are the types of questions you should be asking so that your research assistant is going out and finding these answers for you. You might be wondering at this point, okay, so is this all just positive thinking? Is this all just, you know, mindset? And those things are extremely important, but you might be wondering, is there anything more practical that I can do? And the answer is yes. And Bandler goes into about 5 or 6 of these techniques. I wanted to share one with you right now. And it's called anchoring. It's one of the core aspects of NLP. And I actually just had this awesome opportunity to help someone use anchors to boost their confidence in work. It was an amazing opportunity to coach a girl named Leah, who's from China. And I was able to coach her through this online. And it was amazing just seeing how happy this made her to go from a place where she felt very insecure about her work that she was doing to having total confidence about it. So this is what you do. Basically, I'll just explain what happened with her. She was in a mental state of feeling unconfident about her work. Specifically, she was supposed to be selling a certain product, and basically getting leads was becoming very difficult for her, and she felt like she lacked confidence. And one of the things that Richard Bandler taught us to question is any type of universalized language of always or never. And so she was making it sound like she was always lacking confidence. So I questioned that belief in her. And I said, so I know that you often feel insecure about this aspect of your job, but were there any times that you felt great doing it? Were there any times that you just felt confident and alive and happy while doing it? And I gave her some time to think, and she remembered a time when she had made this really important deal for her company. She came out of a meeting and she just felt alive. And so what I did was I helped her to identify, okay, what exactly was it that you were feeling? What aspects of what you were saying to yourself in your mind, what you were hearing from others, what you were seeing, what you were feeling in your body really stand out from that memory. And so she told me, you know, she heard other people telling her, you did such a great job, like, way to go. And then she said that she just felt like almost this nervous, happy energy, like almost shaking with happiness. And so I said, okay, capture that. Go to that state right now, feel it in your body. And what we're going to do is we're going to find a way for you to get back into that state whenever you want. So what we did, and how you get there, is you create anchors. And anchors are really just shortcuts to getting to a state that feels good. Because it took her about 2-3 minutes to fully remember all these details to kind of get back into that state of feeling confident and happy. But we don't have that much time. You know, in the middle of the day, if you're starting to lack confidence, you don't have 2-3 minutes to just sit down and try to work up these good memories, and it just doesn't work that well. You want to be able to go there quickly. So you need anchors. You need shortcuts to get back into that state. So what I had her do was combine a physical action with a phrase. And so we brainstormed a little bit on what type of phrase would help her to be able to get back into that state. And what we eventually settled on was, my happiness grants me confidence. My happiness grants me confidence. And then she paired that with jumping up and down just a few times and saying, my happiness grants me confidence. Then I sort of had her come back down to earth. I asked her how the weather was. We just had some small talk. And then I had her go back into it. And soon we just practiced doing that. Like, how quickly can you get yourself into a good mood? How quickly can you get yourself into a confident state of being? And that's the power of NLP and anchoring and these tools. And honestly, I'm not even that good at it. But just what I was able to do for her was a huge, huge difference. And so I'm going to study this out more, and I want to teach more of this through the podcast. But again, this is just a really broad, quick overview of all these different tools. Another practical thing from this book was how to remove bad memories. Not remove them, but soften them. So basically, you think of that bad memory, you whiten it out, then you go back to your more resourceful state that you had just done in the previous step, and then you just say, never again. And just like that, like, I know it sounds really simple, but even those steps are enough to really soften what could have been holding you back for a long time. At this point, you might be wondering, okay, what holds all of this together? What really is the philosophy behind these crazy techniques? And I don't know for sure, but I think that this is key. This is something that Bandler said. We all want to change certain aspects of our lives. We all want to change the way that we act, certain things that we do. We want our behavior to change. But everything that we do is a direct result of how we feel. And many of us have the false belief that we can't change how we feel. But that isn't true. You can change the way you feel by changing the images and sounds that fill your mind. And so that's what you do in the previous example. When there's the bad memory, you whiten it out, you shrink it, you disassociate. So instead of seeing it through your own eyes, you see it through the eyes of a third person perspective. And it's crazy. Once you start to notice these things, like, we tend to think that the way we remember things is exactly the way that they are, or the way that we're even visualizing them now, moment to moment, the things that we're seeing is exactly the way that we are. But we are like a director of a movie. From the same footage, a director can apply different kinds of music and shots and make that footage mean something totally different. If they apply cheerful, happy music, it can seem like a happy scene. But if they play really intense music, you suspect that someone's going to die. And I think that there are some people who, metaphorically speaking, are living their entire lives with really suspenseful music playing. They're always expecting something to go bad. And so you are in charge of your mind. That's the whole point. You are in charge of your mind. You can adjust the way that you are imagining things, the images that fill your mind, and you can adjust the sounds and the feeling as well. And that's the essence of NLP, as far as I see it. I know this is a pretty quick overview, but I just wanted to get that out there. And I also wanted to kind of announce to everybody that this is something that I plan on studying for a while. And so I actually plan on going through Tony Robbins' books on Unlimited Power and Awaken the Giant Within in more detail. Those will be the next two books that I really focus on. And I might go chapter by chapter, just telling you what I learned from it. And then beyond, from there, I'll go into some more advanced books as well. Thank you for listening to the show. Be sure to check back in soon because I'm going to be releasing an episode in which I use NLP techniques during a coaching call to help someone work through some psychological issues. So be sure to check in for that. Leave a rating and review if you would like to, and go in peace.